I've been excited about this for the prospect of talking to Johnny Bench for quite some time. He won't remember, but we actually did meet at a golf tournament my rookie year on the PGA Tour. But joining us now is, he was put in the Hall of Fame in 1983. He was a 14-time All-Star. Johnny Bench is joining us now. Johnny, how are you?
I'm fine. Of course I remember you, John. I was with Greg Austin yesterday. We were talking all about you. Boy, you better be playing good, I'll tell you right now.
You know, I'm playing so bad, and Greg is going to be all over me next weekend.
Well, you're going to have to go for just the futility award, because I wore him out yesterday. I tried turning his game completely upside down. I told him I wasn't playing well.
Well, how is your game? How is your game? You play a lot of golf these days.
Well, it's sort of been mediocre. I've been really busy this year. I'm doing a lot of work with Stryker, and we've had about 28, 30 appearances this year for Stryker, and got both the hips and the hips. I haven't felt this good in 40 years, and now I'm trying to look like a golfer. Maybe I'm too much like Tiger and trying to get another swing. I need another coach. Can you help me?
Well, you know, I'm sure that Butch would be more than happy to see you. I don't know if he'd see Tiger again, but I'm sure he'd be happy to see you.
Well, can he do anything with my flexibility?
Well, no, that's an issue from squatting behind the plate for all of those years.
About 500,000 squats, we figure, but I've never had much flexibility. But I know, you know, I don't know if your turn's gotten any shorter, but mine sure has, and that's sort of the fix. You know, you really have to adjust, you know, not grabbing and doing some things, and I still can't get over sliding and grabbing it before I finish it. What anybody wouldn't, no one would consider a backswing, but at least a turn.
Well, you don't have, I mean, you're still powerful. You can still get it out there, I'm sure. I'm sure your golf swing's just fine.
Well, I'll just have to live with it because I'm having such a great time and my life is feeling so good, so it's worth it.
Well, you mentioned my brother works for Stryker, and you're on your way to a Stryker dinner now. He's going to wear you out, by the way. He calls
really?
Into the show. Oh, yeah, he calls into the show occasionally. My brother, Philip, I hope you enjoy it. You have a relationship with the good people at Stryker Orthopedics. I like them because they feed my nieces. Talk about that relationship and what that means to you and what they have done for you.
Well, I mean, I've had 17 broken bones. I've got lung surgery, shoulder surgery. I've broke 7 cups, but I never ever experienced the pain I felt with the hip. And when it just started to go bone on bone, and it happens to a lot of people. I was in a car wreck, and you know, I'm sure there's something to do with the 500,000 squats, but I just couldn't believe the pain. I mean, it was osteoarthritis had just basically taken its toll on the cartilage, and I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't get through the airport. I couldn't play golf, and you know, my doctor that had done my mother's knee saw me and said, "Your hip's gone," and he said, "You're not going to live like this." And I said, "Well, when should I have it?" And he said, "You'll tell me." And that's really the way it is. I mean, you don't have to live with pain, and you'll tell the doctor when you need it. And I'll tell you, I know. Yeah, it's amazing the number of people. When I'm not doing even a Stryker event, I'll be in an audience and I'll tell them about myself. Has anybody had a joint replacement? I mean, it's like half the crowd, seems like. And that's the technology that has evolved. And I had the first ADM with the X3, the new polyethylene with the cross-link. And it's just been marvelous. I mean, I can't even tell you. I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. I can be as active as I want. So golf has taken a backseat to that. But it really does change your life.
Well, you know, and that's terrific. And I wanted to make sure that that you had an opportunity to talk about that. Do you think in baseball, we're looking at Game 6 of the World Series tonight, do you think in baseball they protect the players more now against injury than they did when you were playing?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, we got hit in the head. You know, you get beamed, and the trainer would come out and hold up 3 fingers, said, "How many do I have up?" And if you said 2, that was close enough. You know, going down to first base, we pulled a hamstring. We just wrapped it with an ace bandage. We put some capsule and Abilene cream and mixed it up till the heat you wanted and put it on there. And 3 days later, you didn't have a problem with your hamstring. So, you know, there's a lot of money involved and a lot of agents that are involved, a lot of players that are watching, you know. They want to play another extra 5 or 10 years and pick up another, you know, 50 to 100 million, and you know, in that respect, you know, maybe I don't blame them, but I think they do a, Plus the MRIs. I mean, you know, they, I say technology has evolved, and it really has. And now with the new technology, they find injuries that probably we had back then, but they couldn't diagnose it back in our day.
Right. What are some of the other, you know, obviously golf is my area of expertise, and the technology changes in golf over the last decade from every aspect of it, from the agronomy to the balls that we hit to the clubs that we swing. Everything is better now. How much different is baseball than when you played? When you compare it to golf, are the changes as vast?
Oh, no. I mean, they, at some, you know, at one point in the early, mid-80s, they changed the seams on the baseball, and when I say they tightened it up, it made the ball go a little bit further. And of course, they, you know, players that used to use 35-inch bats, I use 35.5, 32.5 ounces. You know, players started going to 34, 31, 33, 30s, and as you would say, you know, I mean, the lighter the club, the shaft, and everything else, they think they can create more speed, and that would be true. Plus, the conditioning is the one thing. We see it in golf. We see it in all sports, really. But baseball now, the kids now are 6'4", 6'5", 6'7". I mean, and they are really, really unbelievable athletes. And I think we're seeing golf as athletes now. I see, you know, you see these guys bulking up, and they really have to in order to compete because the golf courses are so much longer. They're able to match up the spin ratio off the face of the club, the ball that goes better with that, the shaft that goes better with that, and I don't think baseball has come close to what golf and the technology that's evolved.
I have a question for you. You know, the legends about you are abound. Is the story about Jim Maloney and the fastball, is that a true story? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No, it was Jerry Arrigo.
It was? So they have it wrong even here online?
Well, yeah, but I don't know why, but I guess that's just to protect my buddy Jerry. And, I mean, he was it was hot. We played a game the night before. We finished at 1. I left the clubhouse at 2, got bed at 3. We had to be back at the park at 10. It was one of those stretches I caught 54 days in a row without a day off. And we were getting the heck beat out of us on Sunday, and they brought him in to relieve, and he got a good curveball, but he wanted to throw this guy a fastball. I'm trying to get out of the inning. I want to get off the field. It's hot. It's Sunday afternoon. And he shook it off. He shook it off. He shook it off. And I really don't think I was trying to make a point. All I was just too tired to reach my glove over there, so I just reached out and barehanded it and threw it back to him. So he looked at me kind of funny, though.
That's awesome. I have a personal question to ask you. As the parent of a 12, almost 13-year-old boy who loves baseball, he loves lacrosse, at what point do you suggest that a player focus or a kid focus on one sport as opposed to doing everything? What's the right age for that, or is it a matter of maturity rather than a specific age?
Well, I think it's the competition. I think the best part of it all is at what level are you competing? I mean, I had older brothers, and I was always playing with them against them. They were 5 and 6 years older. I was always playing in a higher league. So it's the competition level that does it. I played baseball and basketball and didn't take one over the other. And when I wasn't playing basketball, I played baseball. But if I wasn't playing baseball, I didn't do anything. I mean, I hit rocks out of the driveway, and I threw balls against the propane tank. But it wasn't anything much beyond that. You know, a kid, if he's really got some talent and everything else, and he really goes out and he matches up against older competition and he can survive with that, then he's got a pretty good chance of making it. You know, it's such a – lacrosse has taken a lot of our athletes, a lot of baseball players away because it's much faster. It's a much more exciting game. So I think kids' hockey is unbelievable, ice hockey. So, they, you know, it's only, you know, 1 in every 500,000 kids that ever play Little League ever sign a contract. So, you know, they should be out there. But if they really have a dream to do it, I know they have travel teams. They play 80 games, I think. During my lifetime, any summer we played about 15 games a year, and so, you know, if you really want to do it, you got to compete against older level of kids and a better standard so that you can measure up and find out really how good you are. Because the first 2 years in the minor leagues, you get overmatched. I mean, the organization knows it. You start to believe it and think about it, and then you press. But once you find success, and if a kid can walk in and says, "Hey, I can handle this." Then you've reached the pinnacle of where you can compete on a very, very major league level.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And that's great advice. And whether or not he at 12 or 13 has dreams of playing Major League Baseball, only he would know. I mean, everybody, you know, all the kids say they want to, but not all the kids are willing to put in the work. And they're just getting to that age where their kids are allowed to throw curveballs. And that makes for an interesting evening because the ones that are really good at it, nobody can hit. And the ones who aren't very good at it hit a lot of kids.
I had a big round sweeping curveball, had a drop. You know, as long as you're not snapping your elbow, we've seen that with Strasburg, we've seen it with Kerry Wood, we've seen it with Greg Pryor. All of those guys had snapping elbows. And the problem is with some kids that they try to even become even more efficient with the curveball and snap it off, and then when they get the elbow, you know, now they're at a point where they just go backwards, and there's unless they can hit the ball, you know, really hit the ball for an average for home runs. And I you know, I tell kids, and go out and hit as many balls out of the ballpark as you can. Hit every pitch you can in batting practice out of the ballpark, because then you learn to wait. And the longer you can wait, then the quicker that you'll be to make, you know, swing the bat. Guys who start steering the bat, you know, have a lot of problems and don't get noticed a lot.
Interesting. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I know that you're very busy. I'm curious, of all the awards that you won, 14 Gold Gloves, a couple of World Series, 10 Golden Gloves, 14 All-Star appearances, the Babe Ruth Award, the Lou Gehrig Award. Is there anything you can point to that you're most proud of?
Well, I walked in the clubhouse after the 75 World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, the MVPs were great. Who are you going to share it with? You know, you got to call, hey, Big John, hey, let's go out and have a drink, man, I'm MVP. And you'd say, no, I got to do a show. And, you know, but you as a world champion, there was just nothing that could ever supersede that. I mean, you walk in that clubhouse, 25 players, the owners, the managers, the coaches, the trainers, everybody, and all fans believe that they're world champions. And the euphoria of it all is just incredible. It's just a high that you can hardly imagine. And then we are able to do it the next year again against the Yankees and sweep them. So I've been part of some wonderful things in my life, and now they unveil a statue. So, you know, the MVPs and everything else are fabulous things, but I got to tell you that they unveiled that statue at the ballpark in Cincinnati on the 17th of September, and that's one of my most proud, in sports, that's probably my proudest moment.
That's fantastic. Who do you like over these last two games or one game for the World Series this year?
Well, I mean, I want to pull for this the National League naturally, but, you know, Garcia has not pitched that well the entire playoff system. They're really going to have to get something, but there'll be some real quick hooks out there tonight. I mean, if they get any kind of trouble, and you don't want to give up a couple of runs, and Napoli's had a good series, but it was the only reason he was, was the hero is because the inadequacy of the Cardinals to hit with runners in scoring position. So, you know, all you need are a couple of deals, just a bloop single, a bloop double. And the game the other night, the Cardinals could have won easy. It's such a great game. I've got my MLB.com ready to go. Got my golf channel ready to go. I've got everything ready to go, and I want to find out what to do with it.
Well, I understand. And if you're in Palm Springs last week in November, I'll be out there for the golf channel covering qualifying school. If you want to tee it up, I'll be there.
I'll be there. I live there.
I know.
Yeah, I'll get your number. I'll get your number and give you a call, and I'll talk to Philip. Crazy Philip.
Please do. And thanks for coming on the show. For being a part of it, it's meant the world to us. We really appreciate it.
We'll bring my father-in-law, Shubayaki, who won three times on the Champions Tour and really playing well. He's one of the greatest guys that ever – and he just got elected to the South African Golf Hall of Fame.
Well, fantastic. You bring him, I'll bring Jerry Fultz, and we'll have a good time.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.